The twin who had his orthotropic treatment has just a more well-defined mandible jawline, and his face just looks more balanced and proportioned. And again, I'm not trying to put all emphasis on looks, but with the face, an attractive and well-proportioned face is synonymous with the function of the face. And you want to be at ideal function, right? And if you've ever looked in the mirror and wanted to get a facelift or filler or thread lifts that they're doing now, you may also want to consider your tongue's placement in your mouth. And maybe you want to look at the width of your upper jaw and the arch of your teeth. You can't just blame the skin and loss of collagen. You really have to look at the structure. For example, let's say you have a queen size mattress and your fitted sheet is for a king size bed. Hey everyone, Holistic Lexi here. Thank you for tuning in to my podcast, Nutrition Intuition, where I discuss current events and trends in nutrition and bridge the gap in the faults of mainstream science with state-of-the-art research and intuition. Please don't take this in any way as medical advice. It's purely for entertainment and education. I still encourage you to do your own research, of course. Please leave me a rating or a comment on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you're listening on. Your feedback is much appreciated. Enjoy. All right. So today we're going to discuss TMJ or TMD, which refers to temporomandibular joint dysfunction. This is a topic that really means a lot to me. I've struggled with TMJ and continue to manage TMJ myself. Obviously, I'm an advocate of taking control of your own health and being responsible for treatment. So the temporomandibular joint is the joint that connects the jaw to the skull. The jaw can elevate and move in relationship to the skull. Some people will feel clicking in their jaw joint, or they'll experience pain and discomfort when chewing. They may even clench and grind at rest while sleeping at night. They may have some limited mobility of the jaw itself when it comes to opening and chewing. So those are some common symptoms that people often complain about with TMJ. However, there's other physiological events happening simultaneously in the surrounding tissues, muscles, and joints that people may not even realize are connected to their TMJ problems. So there's three aspects when it comes to TMJ. There's a health aspect. It affects both your physical and mental health. There's a functionality aspect, which affects the mobility of the jaw, the cervical spine around the neck, and even the upper back. And there's an aesthetic aspect. This refers to the proper facial growth and development, which relies on a good, strong mandible lower jaw, as well as proper tongue posture and a wider maxilla or upper jaw. So having these problems can literally distort proportions of your face, since someone with TMJ may not have enough bone structure to support the skin and muscle of the lower face. I knew I would get your attention when it comes to appearance. An attractive and well-proportioned face is a functional one. So in this case, beauty is synonymous to function, especially when it comes to the face and jaw. Currently, there's over 10 million Americans affected by TMJ, with 9 women for every 1 man having TMJ. My guess is that it's more common than this, with many cases undiagnosed or maybe subclinical, meaning less severe. And I have a feeling that the problem will get worse with our modern lifestyle. The reason why this is so important has to do with how and why people develop disorders with their TMJ or their temporomandibular joint. It's a complex disorder involving nerves, muscles, joints, ligaments, and bone. But let's start with the health aspect of TMJ. So there's a few mechanisms of how someone can develop TMJ dysfunction. If we look at evolution and the skulls of our hunter-gatherer ancestors, they had a wider jawline. Over time, as the agricultural revolution came and humans started eating more refined foods that were softer and, you know, less of the meat, bones, ligaments, and tough foods, skulls actually became narrower, especially around the jaw. When humans needed to chew into tough pieces of meat and ligaments and fat and bones to get their nutrients, their mastication muscles in the masseter muscle around the jaw and other surrounding muscles actually what they do is they pull on the bones near them. So like the mandible bone, and that increases bone density and encourages growth. You know that when you do weight bearing exercises, even at the gym, you're not only strengthening your muscles, you're also improving bone density. And this is why this is recommended to treat and prevent and manage osteoporosis, especially in older women. So back to the diet, if we fast forward to now, when babies are done breastfeeding, they either eat pureed food as their teeth are developing, or they eat baby food. You know, it's easier to get more calories with less chewing. So in some cases, the babies are not necessarily breastfeeding at all, and either they're drinking formula or, you know, breast milk from a bottle. So when the baby is drinking breast milk from the bottle rather than the breast itself, it doesn't allow for proper tongue placement. So even though the baby's still getting the ideal ratio of fat to protein and all the other beneficial immune boosting nutrients from the breast milk, they're not training their mouths and tongue properly. And in some cases, when babies can't latch on to the breast for whatever reason, one possible cause is that their tongue is tied and they would need to get a small procedure to release the frenulum that connects the tongue to the mouth so that it has more mobility. The tongue is actually crucial to the development of the face. The tongue should be resting on the roof of the mouth, which is, you know, the upper palate at all times while sleeping and pretty much all day unless you're eating or speaking. So right now, obviously, my tongue is not on the roof of my mouth because I'm talking, but I try to do it as much as possible. And I've had to make conscious reminders to myself to do it because for me, it's not subconscious. For many people, it will be subconscious. But because of all that, you know, the tongue and jaw issues I've had, it unfortunately not. But the reason that you need to have proper tongue posture is because it actually supports the upper arch and maxilla. And this allows for proper facial development, especially when you start at a young age. Most importantly, it will also encourage nose breathing, believe it or not. So when you have your tongue on the roof of your mouth, you're more likely to nose breathe and you won't be breathing from your mouth. Nose breathing actually allows for more oxygenation and higher oxygen saturation in the arteries. It's like estimated that 20 to 50% of the population are breathing from their mouth, which is, you know, very suboptimal. No one talks about this. I don't really know why. It is becoming a little bit more prevalent, especially, you know, in the holistic health community. But when kids go for their checkups with their doctors or physicians and dentists, you know, you don't really see the doctors or dentists being like, let me see your tongue. They're not telling their patients to breathe from their nose. I don't know why. Oxygen is one of the most overlooked and important nutrients. You would literally die without it in minutes. So really, it just boggles my mind that this isn't at the forefront of healthcare. If you ever look at animals, you'll notice that they breathe through their nose with their mouth closed. The reason someone would start to breathe through their mouth is subconscious. Obviously, the body adapts for survival reasons. So if the airways in the nose are obstructed, then the body's going to start to shift in, you know, certain muscles and breathe through the mouth. Sometimes this means the neck will shift forward. Some reasons for obstruction of the nasal passageway could be allergies that lead to swollen sinuses or even swollen tonsils can play a role. If the upper jaw is too narrow, this could also cause an obstruction and it could lead to a deviated septum in the nose. These all constrict the airways in the nose, making mouth breathing the way that the person will get their oxygen. So it's happening on a subconscious level that people begin to mouth breathe, but this is not the designated way to get oxygen. Some signs of mouth breathing could be a dry mouth when you wake up or the need for water. Mouth breathing can also lead to sleep apnea, and that can lead to an array of health problems. It increases the risk of a heart attack. It can reduce quality of life because the person's struggling to get more oxygen. And this really just is going to have drastic effects on all parts of your health because you're not getting enough oxygen and you're not going to be functioning at your fullest potential. I can tell you that I had to get surgery to correct my deviated septum and collapsed nasal valve in my nose. And this was like 5 years ago. This wasn't something I was born with. My nose was fine over time because your nose is made from cartilage, so it's going to collapse if it doesn't have the proper support. So I was actually born with a tongue tie, which was undiagnosed until about a year ago. The reason it was undiagnosed was because I was able to breastfeed with no problem. I didn't have speech problems. However, I did have frequent ear infections and was born with underdeveloped epiglottis, which is like it blocks your airway when you're swallowing food so you don't choke. And this did make it difficult to swallow sometimes. The point is that no doctors my entire life were able to identify this issue with my tongue, even though I did have you know, retainers and all of that as a kid. I've said this before, and I just think that Western medicine can be very neglectful with looking at root causes. And this is, the tongue is a root cause of a lot of problems, as you can see. You know, had my tongue been fixed when I was young, it could have served as an orthodontic tool for the proper development of my upper jaw, which would have supported the nasal airway. I likely wouldn't have needed surgery in my nose, since no doctor pointed out, you know, that my tongue was tied until I brought it up to my orthodontist a year ago. So yeah, I told him I was doing all these exercises and keeping it on the roof of my mouth. And he's like, let me look at your tongue. And he was like, you need to get a phrenectomy. So the fact that I, you know, brought that up because I was doing my own research about the physiology of the mouth, that actually led him to diagnose me with a tongue tie. So really what I'm trying to do here is encourage you to do your research as much as you can and share as much as you can with your doctors so that you can get to root causes, because doctors are not gods. They're not geniuses all the time, especially the way they're taught with Western medicine. By the way, the technique of leaving the tongue on the roof of your mouth is called mewing. You can look it up on YouTube. His name is Dr. Michael Mew. Mew is spelled M-E-W. It's actually fascinating to learn about this. So anyway, when I fixed my nose, I was able to breathe better. I never got any more sinus infections. I definitely also recommend fixing structural problems with surgery if necessary. So going back to sleep apnea, around 22 million people suffer in the USA, and 80% of cases are undiagnosed. You really don't want to let your problems escalate to this level. This is why I think it's so important that parents check their kids to make sure their tongue is functioning properly and that they're able to swallow foods easily. It's good to take the kids to a myofunctional therapist, as they really focus on the muscles of the face and the tongue to help with proper mobility. Dentists only focus on the teeth, really, and orthodontists are more like about the bite. So you really want to be certain that your kids and you are nose breathing and that their tongue can help with this. So nose breathing also promotes nitric oxide synthesis, which is a vasodilator. It can actually help lower blood pressure. So it relaxes your blood vessels, improves circulation and blood flow to areas that need the oxygen. Also, when you breathe through your nose, it can help to filter out pathogens like viruses. So it's excellent for your immune system. When you're breathing through your mouth, you're not going to get protection like you are, you know, if you're breathing through your nose. Also, you're not going to get the benefits of added oxygen with mouth breathing. They actually sell mouth tape. I think it's called MyoTape, and this can help to keep your mouth closed at night, to encourage nose breathing and prevent sleep apnea from occurring. You can even wear it during the day if you want, just to train you to start nose breathing and to train you to keep that tongue on the roof of your mouth. If you feel that you're congested all the time, it's definitely important to see an ENT surgeon, and if necessary, correct any architectural problems of the nose and that cause airway obstruction, such as deviated septums, enlarged sinuses, collapsed nasal valves, anything like that. Anything that interferes with nose breathing needs to be addressed. The sooner the better. In some cases, the maxilla isn't wide enough. The maxilla is your upper jaw, like your upper teeth. So like the arch, basically. It's possible to expand the upper maxilla, especially, you know, adults, it's harder. But if you're a woman, it's a little bit easier because the bones aren't as strong as men. So I would definitely recommend that you see someone that specializes in orthotropics. If you can, a holistic or neuromuscular dentist, they can help to address this. With other parts of your health, you won't be sleeping as well with TMJ. So you may experience depression and anxiety, and this can really impact your mental health. You know, in severe cases, if you're in a lot of pain because your muscles are overcompensating, especially the masseter and the temple muscles, you might wake up with headaches. You know, you might just not be getting the quality sleep that you need to heal and recover overnight. So it can take a huge toll on mental health. So in my opinion, it's so important to eat well, you know, have purpose in your life. So you really need to address feelings of anxiety. You need to avoid processed foods. You may need to reduce caffeine and make sure your gut health is good. Obviously, the diet part would be like an entirely different podcast, but let's keep going with TMJ. So if we look at functionality, let's discuss the functionality aspect of TMJ. So if we look back at our ancestors 10,000 years ago, there was less than 5% prevalence of jaw problems and malocclusion and bite issues and crooked teeth. And now it's around 95% of the population. So that's a dramatic increase. Obviously, there's a lot of environmental influences on the genetics and DNA over time that has led to the narrowing of the jaw. Because the movement is restricted on the jaw joint, this can really take a toll on chewing certain foods and elevating the jaw properly. There may be clicking or popping. And because the jaw didn't develop properly, it can actually recede and move back towards the neck, which causes the chin to also look like it's moved back. So this is kind of what leads me to the aesthetic part of it. So if you're a nose breather from an early age with a well-developed face that meets your genetic potential, there's less of a chance you'll need plastic surgery and facelifts and fillers to keep to help give your face structure and a lift than if you were to breathe through your mouth, which leads to poor development of the face. And it doesn't live up to its genetic potential that way. So there's a lot of lifestyle and environmental components that contribute to how your face develops. If you go on YouTube and look up Dr. Michael Mew, he compares genetic twins with two different treatments. One got braces at a young age, I think they were like 8 years old, and one went through his orthotropic treatment to help the face grow properly. The twin who had his orthotropic treatment has just a more well-defined mandible jawline, and his face just looks more balanced and proportioned. And again, I'm not trying to put all emphasis on looks, but with the face, an attractive and well-proportioned face is synonymous with the function of the face. And you want to be at ideal function, right? So it's just something to keep in mind. If you've ever looked in the mirror and wanted to get a facelift or filler or whatever, thread lifts that they're doing now, you may also want to consider your tongue's placement in your mouth. And maybe you want to look at the width of your upper jaw and the arch of your teeth. You can't just blame the skin and loss of collagen. You really have to look at the structure. For example, let's say you have a queen size mattress and your fitted sheet is for a king size bed. And you put that sheet over the queen size bed and you notice a lot of bagginess in the sheet because obviously it's too big for the bed frame. So what I'm saying is that could be the case for a lot of people that are having TMJ issues or tongue issues. This is because they don't have the proper bone structure. Their face bones did not develop fully to support the skin and muscles. So I will definitely be talking about this topic in further detail. I think a futuristic idea for a practice treating TMJ should involve a holistic neuromuscular dentist, an orthotropic specialist or orthodontist, a myofunctional therapist, and a plastic surgeon, all working together on this and even adding in someone that can create meal plans for the patients to address inflammation and stress. Obviously, when there's inflammation in a specific area, as is the case in the jaw of people with TMJ, it's important to avoid foods that would increase inflammation, but also it's important to make sure that patient is getting enough protein because it's a stressful situation for the body. And when there's stress, there's usually breakdowns of protein. So you want to prevent the body from utilizing too much protein. You want to make sure you're getting enough. So you don't want your body to be constantly breaking down your own protein. So diet definitely plays a role. And I'm sure I'll get into that on another podcast. But for now, thanks for tuning in and talk to you soon.
So if you enjoyed this podcast, I'd really appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whichever platform you're listening on. Your feedback is much appreciated. Feel free to share it with whomever would find this interesting. And stay healthy.